the great Kohan Benjamin Hawkins.
Shabbat Shalom, saints of Yahweh. You're all so beautiful. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You may be seated. Great Sabbath day. Praise Yahweh for that cool weather. It's a little bit cooler than the 106 I've been dealing with for the last few days. But it's really great to be back amongst Yahweh's people once again and to bring forth the message that I have today. Title of my sermon is, The Reverence of Yahweh is the Beginning of Wisdom. And before I get into my sermon, I would like to give you all a little bit of encouragement. Just a few days ago, I was talking to a judge. Y'all know, we remember Judge Hale, who we are having classes in his court at the 406 court. And he is still standing strong for the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program. But now we've gone deeper and we're doing a couple classes a day. And he came into the room the other day and he sat down with the men and he told them, I hope you all are listening to every word that these people are teaching you, because they are experts in this field. That's coming from the worldly officials. Keep praying for them, like the great Kahan just said. Keep praying for them because they are supporting this work and they are being pressured. You're all doing a great work. Keep it up. You know, also there was a student yesterday, one of my students, I can't reveal his name, but he had a backpack on. Me and him were walking. He always helps me carry my books back to the office that the students use. And I said, that's really a great idea to have that backpack to carry your books. And he goes, well, I carry all the Peaceful Solution books in it. He's got like three books because he's taken like three classes already and even comes when he doesn't have to and sits in the classes. So this Peaceful Solution is changing the hearts and minds of the people. Be encouraged. Now, someone recently asked me a question that I would like to ask, or I'd like to answer from the podium. They asked me if I was under mind control. If Israel Hawkins, if I was under mind control, and I told him no, I practice self-control. And I told him that, you know, if I couldn't choose, I choose to be righteous. How about you? Do y'all choose righteousness? I mean, is your name, are you not baptized into the family name of Yahweh? Isn't that what your name means? I choose to be totally righteous. So yes, nobody's forcing anybody in the house of Yahweh to be righteous. We love to be here. We love to be here. It's the greatest place on the face of the earth. So I just wanted to set the record straight. Yes, I am Yahweh, and you are Yahweh, okay? And we serve Yahweh. We're family. Please be opening your scriptures to Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And I'll get into my sermon now. And it's on page 882, and it says, therefore, I appeal to you, brothers, and I appeal to you, brothers, as well, and sisters, by the mercies of Yahweh, that you present your bodies as living sacrifices. I'm going to be 50 years old. I need these now. Holy, acceptable to Yahweh, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may be able to test and prove what is the righteous and acceptable and perfect will of Yahweh. This is going to take a little adjusting because I got to put them down because when I look up, I can't see anything but a blur. But turn over to 1 Corinthians 10 along those same lines. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Found just a few pages over. And we're going to look at verse 14 first that says, therefore, my beloved, flee from God worship, the worship of Elohim, or God worshipers, worshipers of Elohim. Verse 18, consider Israel according to the flesh. Are not those who eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar? Verse 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles... Now, you remember what the Gentiles means. Those outside the house of Yahweh are Gentiles. The things which the people outside the house of Yahweh sacrifice, they're sacrificing to demons and not to Yahweh, and I don't want you to have fellowship with demons or demon worshipers. You cannot drink the cup of Yahweh and the cup of demons. You cannot partake of Yahweh's table and of the table of demons. That word sacrifice, look over on the side note A. To sacrifice is not to burn a piece of meat. If that was the case, I'd be having it every night because I burn everything when I cook. It means sharing. Sharing. With that word sharing in mind, turn over to 2 Corinthians now, just a few pages over, chapter 6. And let's look at verse 14. It says, "Do not be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what fellowship does light have with darkness? And what harmony can there be between Messiah and Belial, which is Satan, worthlessness?" Look over to side note C. Side note C. And keep that word harmony in mind, because it says agreement in feelings. Agreement in feelings. Now, y'all remember what causes feelings? Where are emotions coming from? It's from our thoughts. But where are our thoughts coming from? Five senses. Remember? Let's see if we can remember. Hear, see, smell, taste, touch. Five senses. Well, one of those things that we hear is music. And that word harmony is interesting. You know, the worldly music, or any kind of music, evokes emotions. And that really is the danger of music, worldly entertainment. I'm not talking about the music in the house of Yahweh. There's a difference between the singing of fools and the singing of the people in the house of Yahweh. A huge difference, okay? And you're going to learn that today. Let me read you from an excerpt from the Peaceful Solution Character Education Program Self-Control Manual. For those watching out in TV land, on the seven continents, welcome to the house of Yahweh. We love each and every one of you, and we hope to see you here very soon. But let me read the pertinent portion here. It says, "Do you know anybody who doesn't enjoy some form of music, from rock to reggae?" And it goes into these different musical types. It says, "The rhythmic beat and repetitive words can have a hypnotic effect on the listener." Skipping down a little bit, it says, "In every time period, music has been used as a means of communication. The singer or composer communicates his emotions. And when you listen to music," it says, "you can even go back in your mind into Egypt and remember everything you were doing back then." That's the danger of it, because it's going to conjure up thoughts. And the thoughts, if it's worldly music, it's not going to be thoughts of the house of Yahweh. Okay? But now, when I was driving up here yesterday, I was listening to one of the song CDs, the beautiful House of Yahweh singing CDs, the greatest music that you could possibly hear on the face of the earth. And one of the songs was saying something like, "Do you remember when your walk with Yahweh first began?" And it was trying to get me to recall how I felt when I first learned about Yahweh's work and the Yahweh's house. And I'm going to tell you, that really strengthens you when you do that. And music is a very powerful form of teaching. That's why children learn the ABCs by music and so on and so forth. Because it's a very powerful tool in teaching. And it evokes emotions. But when you're listening to the House of Yahweh music, and you're listening to that teaching from the House of Yahweh, it brings forth emotions that remind you of what? The world? Absolutely not. It reminds you of things that you've gone through in the house of Yahweh and the teachings that pastors brought forth to us. It's an awesome tool, and I'm appreciative of it. And I know that I hope one day pastor brings a sermon about the singers that used to go out with the children of Israel into battle and things like that, because those people were very important, the singers. Now, Worldly movies and all that, they do the same thing. They evoke emotions too. Okay? Look at verse 16 again in 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Let me put my glasses back. It says, and what agreement does the house of Yahweh have with gods? For we are the house of the living Father. The living. We're the house of the living, not the house of the dead. The house of the dead is sitting on the city of seven hills. That's where the gods are at. And that's where this worldly music is coming from. It's coming from them. If you'll look at some of the biggest entertainers, and I'm not condemning them because, remember, they haven't been called yet. Okay, they will be shortly, or if not, they'll be called in another 1,000 years. But the teachings, if you look at some of these worldly entertainers, a lot of them went to Catholic schools and Catholic colleges and learned the music trade. He says, and what agreement does the house of Yahweh have with God's? For we are the house of the living Father. And by the way, somebody told me recently, put it in my ear. Remember what the great Kohan said about a virus? A perverted instruction? Because that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to pervert the instruction. They're trying to put a perverted instruction in your mind. Somebody told me that we were worshiping a dead woman when we were worshiping Nora. Or when we were remembering Nora at the memorial. Well, first of all, let's set the record straight. She's not dead. She's listed among the living. Just like Abraham, Jacob, Isaac, and everyone else. Yahweh's not the father of the dead. Okay? And she will be resurrected very shortly now. She's sleeping. But see, we forget that. We forget that because we forget the teachings that have been brought forth. Because we're not putting our nose where it should be, which is in pastor's literature, in the house of Yahweh literature. We are the house of the living Father. So keep this in mind. So someone also asked, well, is partaking of this worldly entertainment sin? Well, sin is transgression of the law, correct? 1 Shachanon 3:4. Turn over to Deuteronomy chapter 13, and let's look at verse 6. Deuteronomy 13, verse 6. And remember, I'm not coming down on anybody. I'm just trying to instruct. I'm just trying to show you what the scripture says so we can get it back in our mind again and get those perverted instructions pushed out. It says, if your brother, the son of your mother, or the son of your daughter, or the wife of your bosom, or your closest friend secretly entices you and tempts you, saying, come on, let's go listen to this. Put these binoculars on. Let's go listen to this music. It's not going to hurt us. We can watch videos. And by the way, they got a video game now where you have to go to Hades and fight these little babies that have, they're little babies in Hades that have scythes for weapons on their arms. Now, I wonder who came up with that idea. Who came up with that teaching that there's babies and burning in hell somewhere? Where did you learn that? I think I learned that in the Catholic Church. It says, let us go and worship gods that neither you nor your fathers have known. Gods of the people around you, whether close to you or far from you, from one end of the earth to the other end of the earth. Now listen, here's the law. Do not yield to them, nor even listen to them. You get that? That word listen, underline that. Do not even listen to them. Show them no pity. Do not spare them nor conceal them. Turn over to Exodus 34. Exodus 34, a few pages back. Exodus 34. And we're going to look at verse 15. Where it reads, be careful to make no treaty with those who live in the land. For when they prostitute themselves to their gods and sacrifice to them, they will invite you and you will eat their sacrifices. You'll be a partaker with them. You'll share with them. If you're listening to their music, you're a partaker of the sacrifices. Remember what we just read in 1 Corinthians. Turn over to Exodus 23, just a few pages back. And let's look at verse 33. It says, do not let them live in your land. Or your living room, or your bedroom, or your car. Okay? Or they will cause you to sin against me. Remember, sin is transgression of the law. For if you worship their gods, it will certainly be a snare unto you. Turn over to Ecclesiastes 7:5. I knew I'd have to move rapidly. Time always just flies. It's on page 521, where it says, it is better to listen to the rebuke of the wise. That would be who? Pastor Israel Hawkins, the one sent, the chosen branch in these last days. It is better to listen to the rebuke of the wise than for a man to hear the singing of fools. The singing of fools. Now, we must reverence Yahweh by hating all forms of evil. And for your notes, well, actually, why don't you turn over to Deuteronomy 7, verse 26. Deuteronomy 7, let's look at verse 26 on page 153. And it says, you must not bring an abomination into your house, or you will be doomed to destruction. Well, you know, put together what we just talked about. But not just your physical house. Is your body not a house? Did we not just read in 2 Corinthians 6:16? Maybe we didn't. Let's go back over there, 2 Corinthians 6:16. That way nobody tells me I didn't give you enough scriptures to go over today. I want to give you plenty of homework here. It says, in what agreement does the house of Yahweh have with God's? For we are the house of the living Father. As Yahweh said, I will dwell in them and walk among them. I will be their Father and they will be my people. Not just your living room and your bedroom, but the house of your body and mind. Because if you allow them into your mind, you're allowing the virus, the Jesus virus, as one of the great Kohans called it. It has some other names too, but it's not. And remember what viruses do, what they attack and how they rape and kill and destroy. So if there's a war going on in your mind right now, what are you listening to? Who are you listening to? Where is this war and fighting coming from in your mind? Why are you angry with the house of Yahweh? There's nothing to be angry if we would just believe the teachings and if we would just read the literature. And if you have a question, if you don't understand something, that's not a sin. It's not a sin not to understand. There's many things that I have not understood, but I'm telling you right now, if you'll just wait, you'll get the information. But if you give in to that voice that says, hey, psst, Yeshua Hawkins not the witness, I am. I'm the witness. Come over here, little girl or little boy. You went off the path. Why did you listen to them? It says, do not spare them or conceal them. Show them no pity. Now, if we have the mixture, you know, turn over to Deuteronomy, actually, Leviticus 19:19. Because remember, we're trying to avoid the mixture in the house of Yahweh, the mixture of righteousness and evil. Look at Leviticus 19:19. And I'm building up to a point here. Leviticus 19:19. I'm in the wrong chapter. Sorry. It says, you must keep my statutes. You must not let your livestock breed with another kind. You must not sow your field with mixed seed. And remember, Yahshua said the field is the world. He said the seed is the word of Yahweh. And the seed is what's being planted. If you're mixing seed, if you're allowing the teachings of another teacher into your mind, this is what's causing the confusion in your mind. You're listening to another teacher other than Israel Hawkins. And that, by the way, is in Matthew 13:3-19, Luke 8:5-11. I don't have time to go there, but for your notes. And the children of kingdom are the worthy seed. The children of this kingdom right here at the house of Yahweh and everyone scattered abroad that's part of this great work. You're the worthy seed. But there's other seed out there that the Satan has put out there to come to try to draw you away from the greatest work on earth to take you out of your place. Now, if we have that mixture in us, we're defiled. We're not going to be accepted or acceptable to Yahweh as a living sacrifice, as Romans 12:2 said. Here's what we're going to be. We're going to be genetically modified. Here's the key to the sermon today. We're not even going to begin to understand the teachings of the house of Yahweh if we don't immerse our minds in Yahweh's teachings only. Go back to Romans 12:2 again. I want to show you something. Because when you read these scriptures, like Pastor said, we really got to read them carefully. Look at verse 2. Do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so you'll be able to test and prove. You're not even going to be able if you've got your mind in that worldly entertainment. It's not possible. 1 Yochanan 2:15. Turn over there real quick. 1 Yochanan 2:15. Found on page 965 or 964. Do not love the world, nor the things that are in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father's not in him. It can't be. It's impossible. There's a separation. Yahweh will not even look upon sin. Yahshua is separate from sinners. He's not hanging out with them. He doesn't have his radio on. His worldly radio. If you got to have your radio on, turn it on to 88.9 on your radio set, okay? That's the great one. Now, not my last scripture, but turn over to 1 Yochanan 5:19. Remember what I told you about mind control at the beginning of my sermon? Go to 1 Yochanan chapter 5 and let's look at verse 19. And now remember, if you're not, Yahweh does want us to control our mind. Okay? Make no mistake about it, but he wants us to do it willingly without having to twist us or, you know, force us to do anything. He's not going to do that. He wants us to choose righteousness like he chooses it, like you're choosing it right now. You're all sitting here right now and you're listening to the teachings. That's choosing righteousness. But now look at verse 19. We know that we belong to Yahweh here in the house of Yahweh. And that the whole world is under the control of the gods. But they think you're under control. No, you're choosing to control ourselves. We're choosing to be like Yahweh because we want to be in Yahweh's family, right? Do we not? Look at verse. Let's read the rest of that. And we know that the Son of Yahweh has come. Yes, Yahshua Messiah is a son of Yahweh, but he's not the only one. Pastor Israel Hawkins is a son of Yahweh, and he has come and he has given us an understanding so that we can know him who is true. Yahweh is true. Everything outside of here is a lie. It's a mixture, it's a lie, and it will genetically modify you. Stay away from it. We got so much beautiful entertainment in the house of Yahweh. We have the sermons, we have videos, we have music, we have everything you could possibly want. Why turn back to the worthless gods? He says, for we are in his son, Yahshua Messiah. And you're in Yahshua Messiah if you abide here in this house. You are in him because you're following his witness that he's working with. They're working together. Little children, my last scripture, verse 21. Little children, I speak to everyone here, the big children with the big suits and the little children as well. Children, by the way, get involved in the work. We need you desperately. Parents, get your children to the classes and get them to the Peaceful Solution classes so they can help us. Little children, keep yourselves from the defilement of God's. Please, everyone, you know, Psalm 111, verse 10, look it up. Remember, the reverence of Yahweh is the beginning of wisdom, and you can't even begin to understand the teachings of this house. If you're not understanding, remember, go back and remember who taught you these things. It wasn't anybody but Israel Hawkins. Praise Yahweh for the greatest teacher on the face of the earth that Yahweh gave us. With that, Yahweh bless you, and Yahweh continue to bless your Sabbath, and I'd like to turn it over now to the great Kohan Sefania.
Praise Yahweh. Shalom, everyone. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. Please be seated. We have a set of news articles this morning, and it's mostly focusing on the love of the many growing cold. And the first one is suicide in the military, and it broke another record. last month, and it was even hard to find the story. It's like they only cover these things when they want to, and they cover them all at once, all the stations, and so you have to kind of go to these oddball stations to see the story. But they send these young men into the military, which the purpose of the military is to kill people and break things, and they teach them to overcome. They strengthen their carnal minds, and so it should be no surprise to them that they end up with these increased numbers of suicides, because remember, the wages of sin is death, and sometimes the method of payment is suicide, and that's what you're seeing in these articles here. Now, then they show bullying of a 69-year-old school bus monitor, and what's interesting about this, she handles it actually very well. This woman, she could probably be used to teach our program, but she handles the bullying very well. But they say the news commentator wonders if the bullying is on the rise or if it's just that we have these video cameras that are able to take pictures. And they're kind of wondering this out loud. And I'm thinking, as if a school bus is some distant planet and we now have this telescope that can see. Everyone's been on a school bus and everyone knows this has been going on forever. There's no denying it, but this woman's pretending like we're really not sure if this has been going on, but it has. It's been going on for decades. Bullying always goes on in these school buses, but they're pretending they don't really know, and it's kind of along the lines of how they're going to reduce these suicides. They're just going to change the numbers, because the problem to them is not the suicide, it's the people getting mad about the suicides, and so they're going to take the suicides in the military. And they have a leeway there. They can classify them as accidents. They can classify them as murders. So they're going to get those numbers down somehow, but they're not going to get them down by reducing the suicides, because they're not going to the core of the problem, which is the carnal mind. In order to get rid of the suicides, they're actually going to have to get rid of the military. They're going to realize that shortly. And then we have a shooting of a family in the French Alps, and that was a tragic story involving a four-year-old girl who is alive probably because she obeyed her mother before the mother died. And then we have a shooting in Quebec with the Premier's Victory Party, and this is actually a much more significant story than most might recognize. It's not covered in this news article because it was too soon after the story, but this is actually the beginnings of a civil war in Canada, and possibly a war between the UK and Canada. And then there was a shooting in a supermarket in New Jersey with three or four people killed, and that was undercovered because of the recent mass murders. And then we have Jan Brewer, who's angry about people that are these immigrants that made up this country. But this is a classic example of someone's inner character showing on their face. So let's play the video. The greatest teacher in the world, the great Kohan Israel Hawkins! Yeah! Hello, everyone!
It's all good. Wonderful, wonderful. You may be seated. I know Yahweh's hearing that because he says his eyes and his heart are with us. If you notice, the world has nothing to cheer about. That look on her face there at the end of that. I've seen pit bulls that look better than that. Pit bulls getting ready to fight. The gossip this week, may the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. The gossip in the house of Yahweh, it's really enormous here lately. And this week, it was about grasshoppers. People put this out, there's gossiping about eating grasshoppers here last Sabbath. And one guy said, the email started pouring in, see, from everywhere. One guy said, I'm glad I finally got up nerve enough to eat one of them. They're absolutely fantastic, he said. That gossip went out by email. Then the numbers came in that outnumbered the grasshoppers. The letters, the emails just started coming back. And the question is, can we get them again at the feast so we can get some of them? Oh, I thought that was wonderful. Praise Yahweh. The drought, we'll cover this next week in detail, but the little bit of rains that have touched the United States is not enough to affect anything. And of course, you can see here the rain we got quickly dried up, and the grass is hurting again. What's on the world's mind today is in one trench, Iran and North Korea unite against enemies. Of course, you know that North Korea has nuclear weapons. And, of course, this is going to, this could upset everything and make the determination to wipe out Iran more. And, of course, if North Korea and Iran teams up with Russia and China, who is also putting out a lot of hatred, along with the United States, you know, they too have this look on their face of bitter hatred that is prophesied for this time period. And of course, we're going to see the end result very soon now. Be careful, Texas. Texas emergency due to West Nile virus outbreak. We have several cases in Abilene. It takes about 3 weeks after they're tested to get the results back. And I think there's about four came back already. Bubonic plague is also in the United States now. Again. Now this disease, of course, it wiped out so many million people and turned the tide. This is what actually took the power away from the Catholic Church, who had stamped out the book of Yahweh, the Holy Scriptures, made it a death penalty. They actually took people like you and burned them at the stake. They tied them to a stake, put a pile of wood around them, and set it on fire. We've got some great information that we intend to show during the feast on this, but this is how kind the Catholic Church was to those who wanted to follow the Holy Scriptures like you do. And, of course, if it wasn't for the fact that Yahweh is protecting his work right now, we would have been burnt probably with bullets, or maybe like David Koresh and his crew who thought they were keeping the feast. They tried anyway. U.S. warns also, now this is sickness and disease that's coming with this. Is if you remember, the only reason I show this is because this is part of the results of sin coming back. What is coming out, what we see coming out, is also inside the brains of the people in this time period, bringing forth confusion in the mind. But U.S. warns of possible worldwide epidemic now, triggered by deadly Yosemite Park in California virus. They sent out letters to about 10,000 people saying, you may have this this sickness because you came and slept where somebody else slept. They have these beds, and a different one sleeps in that bed, I guess, every night, like the motels, you know, terribly unclean, like they were in the days of Yahshua when he was born. That's the reason his father, Yosef, would not go to a motel, stay in an inn, because of the uncleanness of, you know, I had dreams about this, you know, and I said, we've got to get our people to stop, you know, using these motels. They're the filthiest places on the face of the earth, outside of the restaurants where they eat. But this is the filth that they've come down to, every table, every bed. And of course, the diseases now are beginning to show, so they're getting worried. On the other hand now, they have knowledge, technical knowledge increased, as we've been harping on. They're using that technical knowledge for, of course, war. And now they got one they claim that will fly, the Chinese do, a drone that will fly, and they can use mind control on it. Take it where they want, and they take it into, if you can remember that bedroom you were in, and you want to blow it up, then you can send this drone in to blow it up just by thinking. Also, this shows you, you should get this, this shows you the great power that is in your mind that you do not have control of. Now, they know that there's great power there, and that's the reason they're trying to harness it, like they're trying to harness the microorganisms to do what, to where they can force them to do what they want them to do. We got much more on that too, but we've ceased for the time period because I want you to learn about this great effort to stamp out the Holy Scriptures. I told you I'd have the information for to show you about Daniel, the last chapter. Hopefully, during the feast, I'll get to show that. Food prices jump will hit the poor. World Bank warns. It says global. Now they said it was only supposed to rise like 4% on some items. Global food prices have crept up by 10%, even in the month of July. So you can see that they're not telling the exact truth because really they don't know. They don't know what's going to take place. But everything right now is showing drought and worry, famine, the things that Yahshua said would be here. Today I want to point out the hatred, because these films that we showed you here, they were for that purpose, to point out the hatred, the scripture that said every man's hand would be turned against the hand of his brother. You wouldn't seek your brother because you loved him and wanted to associate with him, but you'd seek him with a net, one of the prophets said, in order to entrap him. And of course, this all took place. It's taken place even greater in these last days because of the great weapons they have. But the hatred and deception that we see that goes with it. You know, the Yahweh says the whole world is deceived. And of course, I want to give you two scriptures, because Christians, they say, well, the house of Yahweh is saying the whole world is deceived, but they're not. Well, yes, I want to show you that we don't interpret the scriptures. The scriptures interpret the scriptures. Turn over to Revelations 12:9, and I want you to get two scriptures in your mind. I hope everyone has a book of Yahweh. If you don't, make yourself a note and scratch yourself on the head before you come to services next week. The house of Yahweh is almost like the British Bible Society. We're determined to get a book of Yahweh in every hand. So if you can't get one, you know, get with us, call us, something. We'll make sure. We'll make it possible one way or another. We'll let you work it out if that's need be the case. Gladly, we got work that needs to be done. But if you look at Revelations 12:9, Satan deceives the whole world. Now, of course, she does this through her ministers, her teachers, and we see one example after another that the prophets warn us, the apostles, the Savior. Deceive. They deceive the whole world. Now, you could put any interpretation on that that you want to. The Baptists say, yeah, they're all deceived except the Baptists. The Methodists say the same thing. And, of course, the Catholics, they say no one has roots to the first priesthood, which is where the law was given to man, but the Catholics. And they claim roots to the aeronautic priesthood. They say they are the aeronautic priesthood. And they are. They're the ones that are the violent men that took over the whole land of Israel and spread out to other countries, taking them over with nets and spears and sword. But hold that scripture right there and turn over for interpretation of this. It's shown right here, and it is very easy to understand who's deceived. Turn over to 1 Yochanan 3, and remember the word deception there in Revelations. And I could show you a dozen other scriptures, but if you'll just keep this one in mind as you study, there won't be anyone that will be able to deceive you on this. Satan has the world deceived. Well, how does she have the world deceived? And how do we know it's not us? 1 John 3:4 says, sin is the breaking of Yahweh's law. Then verse 7 says, little children, let no man deceive you. Let no man deceive you. That's what Revelations is saying. Satan deceives the whole world. How? They deceive you by telling you you don't have to practice righteousness. Let no man deceive you. He who practices righteousness is righteous. Deceivers are telling you that you don't have to practice righteousness. Of course, the apostle Jacob, he said, faith without works is dead. And the preachers are saying, oh, only believe. That's all you need to do. Just believe. Believe that the tiger mosquito, I guess, carries a bird flu if you want to. Yeshua said believe too, but he said believe all that the prophets have spoken. The writings, that's what you are to believe. Well, here are the apostles who spoke under inspiration and wrote under inspiration, says the same thing. Don't let any man deceive you. You've got to practice righteousness or you won't be righteous. Now, notice verse 8, he who commits sin is deceived by Satan the devil, who deceives the whole world. He who commits sin. You see how that goes together? It's all written like this, here a little and there a little. And, of course, if you'd keep this in mind when you study the Holy Scriptures, but you just need those two right there to see who's deceived. Those who will not practice righteousness belong to Satan. They're practicing what Satan tells them to do. As Yeshua said in Yochanan 8:44, your teacher is Satan the devil. And that's what the Baptists are doing. That's who she's following. She's telling them, oh, just believe. You don't have to keep the commandments of Yahweh. They're liars, as the apostle said. They're all liars. In fact, Yochanan himself said, he who says, I know him and keeps not his law, is a liar. The truth is not in him. So it's, you see how simple that is? Is anyone fooled on that now? If anyone is, please get with me for more instruction in this. But right now, we see the world sick, and we see hatred to the point. This was just an example of the news that we can see that shows this hatred buildup. If you watch the speeches of the Republicans and the Democrats just in the past few days, you could see the hatred and each one saying, you know, they're lying about this. They're not even telling you the truth about this. Bill Clinton did an excellent job in pointing this out and, of course, showed the deception that they tried to pull over one another's eyes hoping to get elected, not because they really have a answer to the problems that's in this country. That they don't have the answers. It's been given to some, and more of the politicians due to the missionary team that is going out quite regularly, and they're entering into the White House, the offices where each country has a delegate, and they got information for those leaders of the different countries that they can send back home to them. Not that it will be accepted at this time. The scripture says it won't. They won't repent. The religions won't repent. And, of course, the religions are the one that Satan is using to deceive the world, to make them think that they don't have to keep Yahweh's law. When Israel, Yahweh, of course, protected his work in Galilee. And Galilee looked like a stink pot to Solomon. He tried to give it away. They gave it back to him. The king he gave it to, he gave it back to him, told him he didn't want it. They were impossible people to deal with because they followed the scriptures, and of course they taught them. Now that, of course, leaked out to all of Israel, and especially Jerusalem, who was being controlled by the Catholic Church at that time. They're calling themselves Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and anyone come up with that other one? I told you I would, but we'll get it. It's Herodians. Herodians. Well, I'll bring you more on that later. Don't get to thinking on it too hard. I want you to listen to the rest of this. But there was four of them, and the last one that I named was the one that uprooted along with their army, that plucked them up and transplanted them, as our people that work in the farm told me. He said, hey, that word there means the same thing we're doing right now, and it means transplant. And of course, I said, of course, they transplanted them from Israel to the seven hills of Rome. And of course, they disguised themselves and with this mysterious form that the truth never gets out about it, you know, behind closed doors. And who knows what goes on behind closed doors? Well, that's the way they took it, and that's the way they have it today, but they're the leaders of this hatred that is going on today. Well, this hatred, you know, when the people wanted to follow the scriptures. In fact, the Muslims, if you read the history, they actually wanted to follow the scriptures, and they do to some extent today. They have a lot of holiness. They're not the house of Yahweh, so they're not in contact. And I told you years ago that these people, they're caught between a rock and a hard place because they don't have Yahweh's protection. And of course, Satan is trying to destroy all forms of holiness. Well, they saw that there was no way that they could live as Yahshua did. And Yahshua said, no retaliation, no wars, no fighting. If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. That's it. And you're not going to make it into the kingdom of heaven if you retaliate like Cain did with Abel. Yes, Abel outdid Cain. He served Yahweh fully, and this way was being accepted by the people. And Cain eventually rose up and retaliated against him and murdered him. And of course, that's what your scripture shows. Well, what we see in the Muslim worlds now that's wanting not to be like the West, and they're saying the women want to, but the women say, no, we're not wanting to. We don't want our daughters to grow up like this. And, you know, I've said before, some people, you know, at a vulnerable age, you know, they think that lust is great, and they start allowing themselves to get into it. because it looks great to them. Now, if you would picture yourself as someone who has a child your age, that you have a child your age, and this child, you're seeing that child get into this same situation, then you would see the evil into this, because you don't want your child hurt like you got hurt. So you'll be able to see it. See that? Praise Yahweh. This way you'll be able to guide your child away from these lusts. Point it out to them. Would you want your daughter? If you had a daughter, would you want your daughter doing this today and getting caught in this trap that the disciples and the apostles, the prophets wrote to us about and tells us don't go near this. It's a den of sickness and death. So stay away from it. Close your mind to it. Get your mind on entering Yahweh's righteous kingdom. Well, of course, back to the Muslims and those who were trying to follow the laws. They had scriptures. They had copies. They had copies of the, at the last, there was copies made of the entire Bible. Now, this took one monk, the history says, it took one monk about 17 to 20 years to write this Bible. So you can see they're limited, but people shared them. People shared them with one another. You had friends back then. You had friendships. If you remember, I told you about a syrup mill that my dad had, and he would go and make syrup at different places for different farmers. He was very particular about the syrup, and he would take home syrup every evening, and he'd say, "Maggie, test this and see if I did okay on it." And Mother would tell him yes or no. "This doesn't taste right," or "Yes, this is excellent." And he would go back the next day and tell the farmer that this syrup shouldn't be put on the market. "Let me have this for my wages, and I'll use it to feed the cattle." He was very particular about his integrity dealing with other people. You don't find this today in today's businesses. In fact, it's a all-day job to try to get a warranty that you have on a tire or a car of some kind to get the warranty fulfilled. It's not like it was in that time period where the man felt obligated to do a certain job and do it right. A handshake at that time, it was like signing a contract. And I remember my dad, he would rather suffer and even have his family suffer than to break his word on anything. He just would not break his word. And he whatever he said, that's the way it went. And if it hurt, it hurt. And sometimes it did, but I admired Dad greatly because of this. In fact, when I visited Oklahoma the last time, I visited a man that I worked for there along with my dad and my brothers. Worked on a huge farm there. That's the last part of Oklahoma life, and the man was sick and dying at that time. But I said, we were talking about Dad, and I said, "Well, you know how he was. He'd rather hurt or suffer loss than to break his word." He said, "You know, I remember that about your dad." Well, I was glad. Anyway, There was also a protection that a protection feeling character that was taught by my family to the children. You don't hurt others. You don't take advantage of others. You work to build up their benefit as well as your own. And Dad used to say you can't go wrong with this kind of character. Well, it's different today, and we don't see this anymore. It's disappeared. And this hatred that we're seeing now, it comes from a combination of breeding and, of course, teaching. And remember, you teach by your examples. Your children follow your example. So you're teaching them maybe not with words so much as you are your example. The training you get in school is not all the training you get, although the training that their children is getting in school is horrible right now. And the one of the worst things they have that is liked the most, of course, is the sports. And if you noticed on this week's news, they had football players that were dying of brain disease, and some committing suicide because I guess their minds couldn't control their bodies, or they were in such pain that they took their own lives. I think one man was only like 37 years old when he was when he committed suicide, a football player. It showed how these people are getting hurt. And here's a football player that is running with a ball, and his feet goes up like this because someone hits him from behind, another one hits him in the front. His head hits the ground like you'd take a hammer and hit the ground. Boxers do the same thing. Their minds are boggled just after a few fights because the human body wasn't built for things like this. It was built to practice for Yahweh's kingdom, to learn, to strive, to train your brain, to feed it righteous food from Yahweh, not from Satan. And if you've done so in your scriptures, what comes from Satan is don't practice righteousness. That's the deception that's gone out into the world. The Muslims, back to them, they wanted to practice righteousness, and all history said they did. And they practiced righteousness as best they could. Their book that they put out, which I have and have read, they go by the laws of the prophets, and they believe the prophets. But the reason they practiced war, they was forced into it, they said. They were actually forced into it by the people who took over the seven hills of Rome, the four religions that took over the seven hills of Rome, and they took the land, all the lands, by force. They went out and they took it by force, and those who would not submit, they killed them. Those who would submit, they'd take them to a place like Babylon, retrain them, and relocate them again. And they had everyone. This is the way they forced the people under the hand of the Catholic Church. Not that they had the truth, not that they had righteousness to follow, but they had force, and the people were afraid. They were deathly afraid of what they saw taking place. Parents were betraying children. Brothers were betraying brothers and sisters. You might have heard about Queen Mary, or Bloody Mary, as they called her, because she burnt so many people, like Joan of Arc, at the stake. It didn't make any difference if they were man, woman, or child. If a child insisted on following the scriptures or held up for their mother and daddy, they didn't mind throwing them on the fire. There was no love there. only hateful looks, the drawings that you see from the priest who stood and watched these people burn, it's not a joyous sight. It's a sickening sight to see. Well, that's what got rid of the Bible. That's why the Bible disappeared. And of course, laws were passed by the Catholic Church to prevent it from ever coming back. They wanted to destroy it, get rid of it forever. But there was too many copies. And that's what you saw also in Jerusalem taking place. You saw people, the law was required by Moshe. They insisted that that law be performed. And if they saw it lacking, the people rose up about it and started protesting. Like Yochanan came and told his brother, Philip. Yes, they were brothers. Not biological, but they were brothers, supposed to be brothers in the faith. And he told him, it's not right for you to be committing adultery with your brother's wife. Well, that's what took place in Jerusalem, and it started wars inside. And they couldn't compete. The Pharisees, Sadducees, Essenes, and Herodians, they couldn't compete with these people because it was gossip, just gossip getting out that the word said this. It was written by the prophets. It said this. And here the king is doing this. So with this come uprisings, and this is the reason the temple was finally destroyed. Zion plowed like a field, and they tried to capture then everyone and take them in bits and pieces to be retrained and send them out throughout the earth and kill off all that wouldn't accept it. But now we come in this time period, right now, we have breeding over thousands of years here that spread retaliation. The only ones that taught non-retaliation was Yahshua and his disciples and his followers. Well, those they had to get rid of, and they did. They called them crusades at the last, and they say, well, they started about 1300. They lie through their teeth. It's written throughout the Acts of the Apostles that they were crusading. The Apostle Paul was one of the great crusaders of the Roman Catholic Church at that time. And he went to the high priest and got permission to go and get these people and bring them back and kill them at the point of death. This took place all the time and written throughout the Holy Scripture. And they say, well, it didn't take place till 1300. Well, that was a big spread right then, but it took place after they got rid of the laws too. The Crusades did, because they kept changing and trying to get rid of these laws. And the Crusades that you saw that really increased in the 1300s, of course, that's what we will get into next week. Because I do want you to understand the history of this, because Satan was out totally to get rid of this. But this breeding of hatred for anyone who kept the laws. You wouldn't think that a person, a young man, who says, I don't want to participate in drunkenness. You'd think a person of the world would look up to that man, that young man. Right? No. No. In fact, if you tell them, well, yeah, I like to party. I like to get my share of the booze. I like to get my share of the girls, meaning defile the girls. Well, a smile comes on their face, and they want to know more. Otherwise, there's a frown comes on their face, and you're rejected right then and there. Why would you think this would take place? Why would you think that in the first place, that who was the start of the breeding program, who was Cain, and all the world's gone the way of Cain, but now it's in the genes. Really? Now, if you know anything yet about the genes and what is there, we don't know quite all yet. They are doing some studies now that I read about that's fantastic, that shows the genes and what they're capable of and what actually goes into this thing. If you saw If you remember the films, you got to remember all this and keep it in mind. The only reason I showed you microorganisms is to show you how Yahweh operates and how we cannot change that operation. It's made perfect. You're made perfect. But over thousands of years now, we see this breeding take place, hatred that's put into these genes. You know how you get a pit bull to begin with? Does anyone... Probably not. I used to study that because you can breed, you can take any breed of dog, and of course all dogs came from a single dog, two dogs. That's the way they came, and Noah took them on his ark. But they took those dogs and they bred them to do certain things. You can breed them to guard sheep and to herd sheep. And work with cattle. You can breed them for watchdogs. You know, if you get a watchdog, it comes from say 19 generations of watchdog. You got a dandy watchdog there that's already bred in. It's easy to train them to do that because it's bred in. Now they got the pit bull from the same dogs. They got the pit bull from Friendly Shelp. You remember the song of Shelp? I used to sing it, but he went to heaven, so the song goes. He was so beautiful, that dog was, and a friend to the boy. Well, they got that pit bull that is easy to teach him to hate and to kill. Well, they got it the same way that the world got their hatred today. It's just bred after one generation to the other. And then when the movies came into, with the increase of knowledge, and we got the movies to where we could have people on screen, we could make them do whatever they wanted to do on film, and we brought forth killing into the homes. You know, until then, the people heard about people killing, and they wonder, why are they doing those things, you know, especially in wars. I remember when friends of mine who live, friends of my family, who live close to us, and they had, 11 or 12 children, and several of their boys went to the army, and of course they came back without limbs, some of them, and some of them didn't come back. And I thought, this is really a horrible thing that I'm seeing here. Why are they doing it? Well, of course, in the movies, they gave the news also, and they painted the Japanese as being the horrible enemy of the United States. They painted Germany as the same way. And anyone they didn't like, they put them on the news, and they built up a hatred. They even showed Japanese men force raping and so forth. And they put this on in the movies, that is, on the screen, in the news that they'd give before they would show the movie. They would put this on the screen and build up a great hatred because they wanted men to go to the army and kill the Japanese. Well, what they didn't realize is the future generations. Well, we have future generations now. It's backfiring. It's backfiring on them. The whole setup now is backfiring. And these articles that you saw here that was just played to you, suicides in the military, bullying and the shooting of families, shooting at a victory party, shooting at a supermarket, the Arizona governor whose hatred is, she does her best to show on her face, seems like, for people that she doesn't even know. When I saw Barack Obama speaking of, you know, he said this is the right thing to do, and he was talking about not sending children back who were born in the United States and have and they're actually a United States citizen, but there's so much hate out there for anyone and everyone. They don't even realize why they hate these children and want them out of their sight, out of their country. I own this land, the pit bulldog said. I own this pen, and you're not welcome here. So they attack because it's been bred into them to do so. And this is getting worse. And it would get worse up until the last man was killed, if Yahweh allowed it to go that far. We know that there'll be training, of course, and we know that 2 billion people are going to be left. Our high priest and king, Yahshua Messiah, turn over to Matithiah 24. He spoke of this time period and what people were going to be like and actually prophesied it. What makes prophecy so wonderful is that no man can prophesy, that is, can foretell the future. Only Yahweh can foretell the future. So you know he's talking to you. And Yahweh says, keep my Sabbaths, and you will know it's me that is sanctifying you, that is setting you apart, if you'll keep my Sabbath. Do you see the world rushing in here to keep Yahweh's Sabbath? No. This tells you again, who is deceived? Who Satan got deceived? And all the prophets and apostles say, keep the holy Sabbath. And the Sabbath still, there's still a seventh-day Sabbath for the people of Yahweh, but not for Satan. No, you won't see Satan's people rushing in to keep the Sabbath. But if you keep the Sabbath, you will know, you should start realizing by now, it's Yahweh who is setting you apart for this great, tremendous work. Well, here in Matithiah now, 24, verse 3, shows that he's talking about the end and what will take place in the end of the age, the last part of verse 3. And then the first thing he says, be on guard that no one deceive you. Well, here we go back to who is deceived again. And of course, we know who is deceived. It's easy. He deceives the whole world. And then 1 John, who is a disciple of Yeshua, says, tells you plainly, those who practice righteousness are of Yahweh. The others are deceived. Righteousness, he says, is performance, practicing the laws of Yahweh. Breaking the laws is sin. That's simple as falling off a log backwards, and not half as dangerous. But here he says that be on guard that they do not deceive you. And then notice up here now, he names the famines which is coming with the droughts right now, and seems like it's spreading throughout the whole earth, not just the United States, but throughout the earth. And the little rains, if you noticed here on the news from Isaac, the big hurricane Isaac, that went up there and showed clouds everywhere. But if you noticed, there was not much rain in those clouds. And you know why. Now, because you've been studying about microorganisms, the things that the world couldn't care less about, you know, they got a push-button telephone to send text messages, and their mind can't get past that. It's glued in on it. So they can't take time to study, not even for a few minutes, to train their, to build up their mind to think. Well, he shows that in the great earthquakes, as you saw several this week if you watched the news. Then verse 9, then they will hand you over to be afflicted. Why? Why would they hand these people over to be afflicted and to be killed? Many will be offended and fall away. Now, this is a great prophecy because it goes back to prophecies from the prophets that Yahshua was talking about that we'll get deeper into next week. Many false prophets, many deceivers, see, that verse 11, he tells you again, that will deceive the many, as the diglot says. The many will be deceived. How? By letting Satan tell them they don't have to practice righteousness. And because iniquity, which is the opposite of righteousness, that's doing away with the law, because iniquity will abound, love will grow cold, or hatred will increase, as we're seeing here in this bit of news. And we just showed you a little bit, you know. I mean, you watch the news in 1 week and you're almost crying at hating to see any more. I say sometimes, why in the world do they just keep harping on these? Somebody killed this person at the apartment. Someone cut her head off. Someone did this or did that. But it's all just brutal now. Every bit of the news is brutality. And getting ready for the big one, you know, the nuclear wars. Even the world's top men of the top countries, even though Barack Obama is trying to work out a peace, it's impossible. And Yahweh tells you it's impossible. We will do it in the end after the nuclear war. And then at that same time now, Yahweh shows, of course, that his message is going to be preached around the world. I want to cover one more scripture, if you'll turn over to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 4, 1 Timothy 4, now remember the breeding. Same way you get a pit bulldog is the way you get what we've got today in the world, because we see killings, we see, even on the news you see it, you see brutality. And of course this affects the mind. I used to say about soap operas, you know, the soap operas that I watched years ago, a person was either in trouble or he was fixing to get into trouble or he was just getting out of trouble, you know, and that was a total thing that you kept seeing over and over on the soap opera. And I said, then you can't watch things like that, you know, without it affecting your mind. Well, not only is it affecting the mind, it's affecting the breeding, it's going into the breeding. And here now in the apostles' work and the prophecies, he says, now the Spirit, that, and if you know what that's talking about, it's the prophecies. The Spirit of the prophets is the laws and the prophecies. The Spirit. It's not a ball of gas up there. It's a spirit, a character that you get from these prophecies that tells you what is coming to pass. The Spirit speaks very plainly that in the latter days, in the last days, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons. That's Elohim. This is 1 Timothy 4:1. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, you know, and you might put together the ones who have fell away from the house and joined Satan in her attack in these last days, because that's another prophecy, and it's taking place. It's been taking place now for years. And speaking lies and hypocrisy, you know, I actually feel sorry. I read all these letters, or read a bunch of them. There wasn't no way I could read all of them. But the joy that I heard coming forth and saying, you know, what a wonderful time we had at the house of Yahweh last Sabbath. And practicing righteousness. And then they talked about having this great treat of eating grasshoppers. And I said, you know, I really feel sorry for anyone who doesn't belong to the house of Yahweh. They don't know what they're missing. Well, he said in verse 3 now, forbidding to marry, sodomy is okay, and bestiality and stuff like this, but no, not Don't let them get married till they've experienced this and this and this and committed murder, a few times in their life, and then let them get married. Instruction which Yahweh created, received with thanksgiving. Verse 4, for Yahweh founded by ordinance, established the law, everything that is righteous and suitable, and no one is to condemn that instruction which can be received with thanksgiving, for it is sanctified, ordained through the word of Yahweh and prayer. Well, if this had been taught to all children, and notice this is in the last days here in verse 1, they'll depart from the faith and they'll follow this doctrine of demons. Now remember what Yahshua said in Matthew 24:12, that the love would grow cold following this doctrine of demons that the world has to offer right now, and the breeding. The breeding, I dare say, has, of course, spread over, and we're wrestling with that daily in our lives. But 7 years, takes 7 years to renew the body totally. It actually takes longer than that, because during that 7 years, you feed it some more evil. So, it's a struggle that you have, but every year, every day, you get better and your body gets better and more capable. And that's what Yahweh, of course, is looking for, is the effort you're putting into it. When we get our new bodies, we won't be having to wrestle with sin anymore. It's going to take over. Righteousness will take over. But Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the song leader. I love you.